precious brother. Epistle of John chapter 1, about the first of
two.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We bow before you, precious Heavenly Father. With joy in our hearts, to know that which was taken away by the locust, the genuine Holy Spirit fellowship in Jesus Christ has been restored in this age. Precious Heavenly Father, may this evening as we sit down, the Holy Spirit draw our hearts to that fellowship. Each one of us may have fellowship with the Father, with the Word of the living God. Loving Savior, let the blood of Jesus Christ be sprinkled upon our souls. Make our minds captive to your word. We come against the power of darkness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take control of every believer. Take control of the minister of the word. Take control of the interpreter of the word. Open our hearing, Father. For in this age you say, let him who have ears to hear, hear. Give us ears tonight, Father, that we may hear what you have to tell us. For we know you have gathered us for a purpose. Grant it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall sing hymn number 80 as we welcome our precious brother. Looking forward for another wonderful time. We do trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts. Shall we stand up and we sing him this number 80? A friend of Jesus, oh, our place that once so far is a friend of mine, a friend when other friendships sin, a friend when others fail, amen, a friend who gives me joy and pain, a friend when faults are sin. With Jesus. friend of mine, a friend when life short lives is old, a friend when heart is wild. Thankful for that friend this evening. He's the best friend that we could have. And not as scripture says, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Abraham was called a friend of God. He was God's friend. He walked in God's company. Nothing could separate them. Abraham made many mistakes. But God had made a covenant with him. It wasn't dependent upon Abraham's mistakes. Amen. And when you walk in that kind of company, Abraham saw many great things happen. He had communion with Melchizedek. What is that? It's the wedding supper. That's a promise for believers. Abraham met Jehovah Jireh. He saw a ram created by the spoken word. Abraham turned back into a young man. Is those the things promised us in this hour? We will see that spoken word. We'll come back young. We'll go to the wedding supper. Lot didn't know none of those things. But he had come out when Abraham had come out. He was associated with Abraham for a time. But he never entered into that kind of blessing. But the friend of God, Abraham, he entered into that. He loved his appearing. Abraham rejoiced to see him. He was hospitable to him. Amen. He said, I'm not going to let you pass by like that. Sit down a while. He said, Sarah, put on those cakes in the fire. Let me wash your feet. Isn't that Abraham sitting this hour? Amen. I'm really happy to be in your presence again tonight. Most of all, we are happy to be in God's presence. And may God give us a great blessing tonight that will encourage our hearts to walk closer to Him. It's an hour of consecration. God wants to have preeminence. That's the second fold mystery. To have the preeminence in the church. To have the oversight. To lead them in everything. Christ walking in our feet. Working with our hands. Thinking with our minds. Speaking through our lips. That's the kind of preeminence. I want to speak a little bit about that tonight. Because he says in that day, you will know that I was in the Father, and the Father in me, so I in you, and you in me. What a joy it is to see God in your own life.
life. To know he dwells in you. That's his purpose.
For
this word to be made flesh again.
Amen.
Amen. That is to bring us back to our full redemption. To bring us back into the Garden of Eden. Where we were in the beginning. With dominion. That is why he brought the prophet to that spot. It wasn't to show you as a great powerful man. It wasn't to show you could just do some miracles. It was to reveal to other sons of God their image, their inheritance, that we can have a vision before us of what God is bringing us into. When we see and understand that, then when we go through the trials, the persecutions, the testing time, we can rejoice. We can count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. We get glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work at patience. We can say all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, because we are predestinated to be conformed in his own image. But how can we be transformed into that image unless we see it first? The Bible says, we behold in the glory of the Lord. It's changed from glory unto glory. Until we are changed into that image. But it has to be unveiled first. So that we could behold it. And when we behold it, when we have a revelation of what we're looking at, that is why he says, who do you say this is? When you look, what do you see? Amen. Amen. The prophet was trying to get them to see the unveiled Christ. That the church could understand. It was won back in the image and likeness of God again. Because God made man in his own image first. And that was a spirit man. And then God gave him dominion. Amen. And when he came back in God's image, then he could speak again. When God struck that masterpiece, he said, let a scroll come from the
end.
That masterpiece could speak. And when the squeeze comes, watch the third pull there. There'll be a bride that will be in speaking conditions also.
Amen.
So may we appreciate our trials and testings.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father, we appreciate this opportunity to be gathered in your divine presence. As we have come tonight to fellowship around your word, may that great divine presence of the living God so move through this place, Father, quickening hearts and lives, and lifting us up into a higher bracket of faith. Oh God, a perfect faith, Lord.
Oh, Mungu, iman kamilifu, Bwana.
That we can truly understand our position. In Christ Jesus. Won't you do that for us, Lord? You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And
the attitude we have come in tonight. Hungering and thirsting, Lord. For more of you. Fill our hearts to overflowing. Bless the word to our hearts. May be personalized. May be relevant. May be applicable to every one of us. So we can see ourselves in the Word. We can understand the working of the Holy Spirit behind our predestinated lives. For truly we know that would bring us into harmony with you, Lord. How we desire that tonight. So we ask for it. Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. They made these things because of the Midianites. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came in, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. Notice three powers here. Midianites. Amalekites. Children of the east. Three powers united. Come against them to devour their increase. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance of Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers from multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. That Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Yea, not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was an Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. And his son Gideon treasured by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Almighty God, Father, we look to you. That same one who appeared to Gideon. May you appear to us. What you did for him, Lord. You took the word and drove the fears away from God. You lifted him up into such a faith. You brought him to such a condition. There was a manifestation of a ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You promised that same ministry, Lord, of the sword of the Lord, the king's sword, the word of God. Prepare our hearts for it, Lord. Make us ready in this hour. Give us understanding tonight. We await your leadership now. in the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and amen. I want to take a little drama again tonight. And I want to take my title. God requires a burnt offering in the harvest time. Don't put the Bibles too far as yet. Because I haven't finished reading the text. There's a little part of the story I'd like to continue to read. Where we want to strike our inspiration from. But the little portion I've read is enough for us to catch the background. And as I say, taking a little drama, I try to approach it from this standpoint so we can make it in a way that even the little children could understand it. But yet at the same time, break into the realm of the Holy Spirit, since this seventh seal book has been opened, and every scripture we read is revealing Jesus Christ. Because he's the principal theme of the entire Bible. And since this Bible is the expression of one goal and one purpose that God had, and all these things were just unfolding that purpose. And since that great purpose is coming to its climax in this hour, and then we know all these things that was written in the Bible was for our examples. This book that was sealed was not going to be opened until this day. So then that means the message that it contained was going to be for the people in the last days. Though God give a portion of the word down to the ages, so he might call the elect in their hour. But the book is open now. And we can look into the book. And as we look into the book, we see it is revealing a threefold purpose that God had in the back part of his mind. And this great secret that was sealed with seven seals is now being put in the heart of the bride. Because we are in the mind age, when the intelligence is here. You say, is that right? The head and the body is becoming one. The marriage is taking place. It's an invisible union of the bride and Christ. Hallelujah. 1963, we saw a great head in the sky. Why only a head? Because there's a body in the earth. He had to find a place to lay his head. Amen. The head couldn't rest on the denominations. Had to come upon the bride. That the two could become one. That the bride would have the mind of Christ. She will know what he wants done with the word. How can we know what he wants done with the word except he reveal it to us?
And he has built his church upon divine revelation. And the Holy Spirit is the divine revealer of the word. Do you believe that? Who revealed the John? John saw a dove coming upon Jesus. That was his sign. That the one is the Holy Spirit descending upon. That would be the one. Jesus was the Word. But the Spirit, in the form of a dove, had to reveal the Word to John, who was the prophet. Hallelujah!
Amen.
How did it come to Paul? Amen. He said, not by the will of man, not by flesh and blood, but by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. How did it come to Peter? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father in heaven had revealed it to you. Hallelujah!
Amen.
It's going to come by revelation tonight. The same Holy Spirit revealed to the prophet, revealed to Peter and Paul, has to reveal it to us. And thank God the Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of truth is here to lead us and guide us into all truth. And all truth has been revealed by the seven seals, because Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. What are things? Things are mysteries. Things are truths. The Spirit of God searched the deep things of God. I have given you an unction from the Holy One that teacheth you all things. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear it. But when the Holy Ghost is come, he shall teach you all things. Hallelujah! He shall teach you the word. Amen. And the word was sealed up in the book. And the reformers probed and probed at it. They was only catching the mystery in part. Because it's promised in the Bible. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. See, seven angels have to run out. Then at the end of the seventh age, when they put him out of the church, he would reveal the Son of Man. Hallelujah! Then a heavenly angel was coming to open book. What open book? The same one that was sealed. Which seals the Lamb broke. And as John was on the earth, in the days when Jesus came, so was the seventh angel. When the heavenly angel, Christ himself, was coming with the word, the open book, and Christ was revealing himself out of his own word. He broke the seals himself to reveal himself, because he's the principal theme of the book. Who was the book revealing? Was it three persons? No, sir. It was one person from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
the spirit of truth. As we have reason to see certain things. As we have need of it. God is revealing it. Making it plain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we'll take that message to literally turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. It says, and the Lord sent a prophet in our text here. Who sent the prophet? The Lord sent the prophet. Why did the Lord send the prophet? The people had fallen away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they were in such a fearful condition. It was in the harvest time. He said, how do you know it's the harvest time? Gideon was threshing wheat. You don't have wheat until it's harvest time. The wheat is when the seed comes back to seed. Amen.
Amen.
Luther couldn't preach a harvest time. Wesley, not in Pentecostals, could preach harvest time. But Malachi 4, he preached harvest time. It's the rising of the sun. When the sheaf is being waved, he preached the seed shall not be out of shock. Because harvest time is when all the life is gathered in the seed. It's a season of the entirety of the life. The entirety of the word. Because it's going to take all the word to make it the seed. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is the corn of wheat. Moses couldn't preach that. Jeremiah or Elijah couldn't preach that. Because the seed is the image of the life. In those ages, they had a portion of the life. But not the image of the life. Hallelujah! And Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. He was the seed. And when he died, when he fell in the ground, the image was shattered. But the lies come up to the prophets. Each one revealed in part. Until it came back into Jesus. And he was the second Adam. The seed had come back to seed. He was the image of God again. Hallelujah! That is why he could speak. You see, Adam came from thought to word to flesh. And from Adam, everybody else is born by sex. We all bypass the word. And we come from thought to flesh. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to become the word. And we need a new birth. And the new birth brings faith. And then you add to your faith. Virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. Godliness and brotherly kindness. You are being formed back in the image of the word. You are changed into the very image again. Because you are predestinated to come back in the image. Hallelujah! That's your redemption. Amen. So Jesus was the corner wheat. he told a parable. How the son of man, the corn of wheat, he saw who was sowing the seed. And in the harvest time, amen, he's going to come and gather the wheat together. And he said the harvest time is the end of the age. That's why through the ages, he was son of God. But when son of man has been revealed again, it's when the seed has come back to seed. It's when the fullness of the word come back into existence. To reveal the harvest time. Because there is no further stage than the seed. But then that's why the Lord of the harvest must come now. Like Ruth in the Bible. She was going back into the homeland, into Bethlehem. At harvest time. When Naomi was returning back into homeland. Hallelujah! And when Israel went back into homeland. And the 6-point star David. Flew over Palestine. It was the same day the angel appeared to the prophet. And said, time to go. A one man move. Amen. Hallelujah. So what it was harvest time. Also in the Bible. Joshua. Coming to his commission. At harvest time. It was at harvest time when the Jordan overflowed in banks. And Joshua was bringing them into the new land. Into the promised land. Because Moses represented the organization. The law. But Joshua was a day of grace. Joshua is the book of redemption. You see, in the book of Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is in Genesis. Then Joseph goes down into Egypt. And he dies in Egypt. And then Exodus is not in the promised land. Exodus is coming out of Egypt. Journeying back to the promised land. And they have to come through 3 stages. Before the comeback where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was. Amen. And Leviticus. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Is Israel in the journey? They're journeying back to the promised land. And Deuteronomy means 2 laws. It, 2 covenants. It is only a rehearsal of what happened in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Showing the ones who died in the wilderness because of unbelief, and showing the ones who used to go over in the land and get the inheritance, and showing the ones who's going to get the inheritance on the other side. Amen. Amen. Like the 2 sections of the book of life. And the book of Joshua is coming back into Canaan land. In the land of the fathers. In the land of the fathers. The children's heart has been turned back to the feet of the fathers. It was redemption. And when they came into that land, The ministry of Joshua,
oh, ile huduma ya Joshua
was to place the people positionally,
ilikuwa ni waweke watu kila mtu mahali pake,
and they had all things under the seat,
yani naona mambo yao chini ya miguu yao,
bringing back that dominion,
yani kuleta ule utawala
in heavenly places.
Oh, katika mahali pa juu pa mbinguni.
Because Ephesians parallel Joshua,
kwa sababu Ephesians wa Efeso inalinganishwa na Joshua. Naona watu wakianguka.
We see God telling the prophet.
Naona Mungu akileta nabii.
We see the prophet going off the scene.
Naona nabii naye akiondoka.
We see the angel of the Lord coming on the scene.
Naona malaika wa Bwana akija naye.
He didn't appear to the whole world.
Hakutokea dunia yote.
All the people in Nairobi didn't know he was there.
Watu wote Nairobi hawakujua alikuwa
hapa. Amen. Amen. All the people in Abiza right didn't know he was there.
Yaani watu wote katika
Abiza right.
Yaani huko kwa Abiza na kule jioni alikuwa hawakujua.
Amen. But he appeared unto the elect.
Lakini alitukia aliwatokea
wao. Who are a thirst to see the living God.
Ambao walikuwa wameteuliwa waone Mungu aliye
hai. Amen. He had come to satisfy that thirst.
Alikuwa amekuja kutosheleza kiu hicho.
They wanted to see a reality. And he came to introduce them to that reality. And look at our scripture from verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest to me. Depart not from here, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again.
Verse 19.
And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. Now watch this here now. Watch what he's bringing. His offering, his sacrifice, is showing his revelation of the one he's coming to worship. It shows that who he recognized that one to be. That kid, a young goat, was a type of Christ who was made sin for us, a sin offering. That unleavened cakes, made without leaven, that was Christ. Amen. The flesh he put in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it.
Akaitia ile nyama katika kikapu, akautia mchuzi katika nyungu, akamletea hapo nje chini ya mwaoni, akampa.
And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay them upon the rock, this rock, and pour out the broth, and it did so.
Aye, malaika ya Mungu akamwambia, itwae nyama ya mikate isiyotiwa chachu, uiweke juu ya mwamba huu, akaumwage huu mchuzi, akafanya hivyo.
Look at the picture.
Angalia
the flesh
nyama
of the kid.
Ya yule mwanakondoo.
The 11 kids.
Upon
this rock, and then pour the broth. I'll pour it. Amen. With all revealing Christ. Then
the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there rose a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Now note that angel is God himself. Amen. Because he says, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar dear unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in offer of the Abijah. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the images that are by it." And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images which thou shalt cut down. Now let's pause there for a moment. Notice what God is telling him now. He brought a sin offering. And God said, "Fear not, you will not die. You receive assurance. You receive comfort. He had peace that settled it. He will not come under God's judgment. His sin offering is accepted." But what God now? Telling him, "Look, them groves your father had here. What was his father doing with that? After his father heard the prophet's message, he still had all the groves. And Gideon wanted to see miracles. And seeing those groves there every day. But look, when God came in this thing, he called our halls to pray. It wasn't time to play church. It was a time to put everything in place so that God and man could come into a union. Because that is why the prophet was sent in the first place. And when the angel of the Lord followed the prophet's message, in that hour, when the three powers have been united to bring a squeeze, to bring a little bit pressure,
And they were being bound up in fear. And there's a promise. When the squeeze comes, when those three powers bring economic pressure, what's the third one then? The sword of the Lord. It's to go forth in that hour. But look at Gideon. When he should be coming into that spot, he's hiding. He's full of fear. He's afraid to talk about his father's throne. But he wants to see the power.
But look at the angel. He began to fool around. They cut that thing down.
Amen. He just built an altar here. Kill that second bullock. 7 years old. He can take the wood of the images that you cut down and offer this second bullock for a burnt offering in the ordered place. The only provided place. The chosen place of worship. Offering, yeah. God was requiring a burnt offering in the harvest time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Verse 27.
Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the images were cut down that were right, and the second bullock that was offered upon the altar that was built.
Hata watu wa mji walipoondoka asubuhi na mapema, tazama madhabahu ya Baali imebomolewa na ile ishara iliyokuwa karibu nayo imekatwa na yule ng'ombe wa pili ametolewa sadaka juu ya ile madhabahu iliyojengwa.
And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired another, They said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. I tell you, it's called the religious disturbance. It's called the religious disturbance. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the images that were light. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He who will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cracked out from his altar.
Oh,
followed the prophet's message for deliverance. In the harvest time, when those three powers were bringing an economic recession in the land, who do you think is bringing the economic recession in the land today? It's not just in one country.
The prophet's message had gone forth already.
going to bring an economic depression upon the land. He warned the believers about it. Hallelujah! He promised he would bring a squeeze. But he promised the spoken word would be there to meet the challenge of the hour. Hallelujah! The same Holy Spirit that was created in squirrels, speaking to the stones, was going to come back. The same King Saul, the Son of the Lord, it was going to be there in that hour. But between that time of the going away of the prophet and the prophet left about 1965, and now it's 1992. About 27 years. The economic pressure has worsened. Amen. It's a very hard time for believers. Have to toil and struggle. Look like we left alone. Amen. But in that hour of such hardship, there was an angelic visitation, a heavenly visitation. It wasn't to the whole world, but the angel of the Lord had a predestinated channel. Gideon didn't come to realize his full ministry as yet. He was seeing himself in a very negative way. But the angel of the Lord appeared on the scene. And he saw him in that condition. And he realized he had to speak a positive word to him. To break the spirit of fear and bondage from around him. Give him a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. A spirit of adoption. And the angel told him, the Lord is with thee, almighty man of valor. Could you imagine that? The angel saw him hiding. The angel saw all his very insecure movements. Yet he didn't rebuke him for it. Yet he didn't try to pull him down. He said, the Lord is with you, the almighty man of valor. And he was looking around to see if the Lord was talking to somebody else. He was looking over there. He said, you, the almighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. He said, me. I'm the least of my father's children. He wasn't seeing himself the way the angel was seeing him. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And you shall know as you are known. You will know I in you and you in me. You will know greatness inside of you. The Lord is with you. The almighty man of valor. Amen. He was trying to break the spirit of fear. Take out the inferiority complex. And let him see himself the way God was seeing him. Amen. He said, you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Who in this thy might?
glory and power through you. That these three powers here will know I am the true and living God. Hallelujah! Greater works than these shall you do. Amen! What you see temporarily will be manifested in fullness. What an atmosphere! Gideon sitting under the atmosphere of that angel, speaking the word, recycling back the prophet message. What he spoke to his prophet. Amen. Behold, I. Who is I? Revelation 10:1. Send you. Who are you? Revelation 10:11. Elijah. Who is Elijah? Revelation 10:7. And he, Elijah, shall turn your heart back to the faith of their fathers with his message. Revelation 10:3-4. Amen. It's the same scripture, friend. Because the eye who sent Elijah. But the heavenly angel who descended from heaven. Elijah was the earthly angel. The prophet of Kentucky. And who are we? We are the bride who have ate the book. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Amen. Isn't that mysterious? Amen. And here the same angel who was veiling the prophet. Revelation 10:1 was veiled. In Revelation 10:7, speaking out the message, revealing all these things. Then he took the flesh away. Hallelujah! And he appeared to the bride and the Holy Ghost in a theophany. God in a theophany, the angel of the Lord, going around the world, fixing things for the coming of the Lord, quickening power, quickening you, raising you up in heavenly places to recognize your position in the world. Amen. Because there's part of the message, there's still prophecy, and it must be fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah! Unto this end were you born. For this cause you came into the world. Amen! It's not when you hear the message you become predestinated. Because you are predestinated, you hear the message. Even before the message came, you were predestinated before the foundation of the world. Amen! Don't have no inferiority complex. Don't have no spirit of fear. Yes, I'm that thing tonight. Let's rise up in faith. Let's recognize the same angel who sent the prophet is the same one who said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that tonight? It's the same one. The Holy Ghost. Not three persons. Same God. Same Jesus. Same Holy Ghost. Same mighty angel. It's the same one Lord mixed tonight. Glory! In the harvest time. What does it come for? He has followed a prophet message. for us. You can believe tonight. Let him move you into it. You can receive it tonight. Don't you unleash my first spirit. Amen. Don't say I'm the least of my father's children. See yourself the way the angel has seen you. Amen. He is saying, don't super church. He said, don't super race. He is saying, don't invincible army.
He began to see how you're failing to truly represent
God the way he should have. He began to see that he was looking for things and he was looking for miracles, and yet in his own life wasn't in a certain condition. He wanted to see God do great, powerful things outside of himself. I could sit in the stadium and see God do the miracles. God didn't want that in that hour. God was going to do it. But God wanted to do it inside of him. God wanted to do it to him. So God is going to make him a miracle first. Hallelujah! Amen. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang this world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, that took a miracle of love and grace.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet said he wanted to see a miracle, a paradox, something incredible but yet true. He said, but God has to make you a paradox. God has to make you a miracle first. Then you can see a miracle. Amen. You say, Lord, make me a miracle tonight. Let me see myself the way I want me to see you. Amen. Just the way you see me, Lord. Don't let me live below my God-given privileges. But let me be united with my sonship, where I can walk in the Spirit and live in the power of victory. Amen! Where I don't have to run and hide no more. Oh my, it was a treacherous time. But the angel was calling a halt. Said, no more play church. Amen. It must be for real. Hallelujah. It's only a reality. It's only the word made spirit and life in us. Could pressurize us to stand the pressure of this evil age. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God knew it was time for consecration. So he told him, he said, you cut down these groves. They had Baal worship. Baal worship was an imitation of the worship of Jehovah, and they had a symbol of a bullock. A bullock. Like in the time of Kings, 1 Kings 18. Elijah said, you get your bullock, I will get my bullock. Amen. And they had all the emotion and everything trying to get the fire down. But the prophet had a plan to bring the fire down. He knew how to divide the sacrifice. He knew how to build the altar. And the Father and I would. Amen! Because God and man were united. Amen. And here we see, in the harvest time, after the going away of the prophet, and before the shoot on with the three powers, modern times. But God was seeing that the hour was so far advanced. He had to put his appearance among his elect. And put them into a consecration that would take them into a union of God and man. That would sound forth a trumpet, a quick short message that will shake the nation. Pull the scattered churches together. Give them some supernatural strength. And our ministry of the soul of the Lord. Amen! So go forth in an hour. A little group with empty vessels. Empty out all theology. Empty out all statues. Empty out all fanaticism. Empty out all politics and worldliness. Until the vessel is empty. And the only thing in the empty vessel is the lamp. Because in him is life. And his life is the light of men. When we become empty of all self, and his life, the light inside of us, going forth in that hour under one headship. And God says, take that bullock and offer it for a burnt sacrifice. Now Gideon understood how to offer the burnt sacrifice. He said, offer it upon the top of this rock in the other place. And all the images you have all around. Everybody has a little image. Some have a little business image. Some have a little scholarly image. Some like the fashion image. You have to cut them all the images. Amen! Then they have to offer the sacrifice upon the wood of the images. So those images become ashes. It become consumed entirely. What it is? A total separation from all of this. What for? To bring us into a complete union with faith. Amen! So we can see the omnipotence of this burnt offering. It spoke of complete, unreserved consecration. Now I'm getting ready to close. But I want you to listen to me attentively here. Remember, this book was sealed with seven seals. But through the song there is a seven angel message. The seals is loose of the book. And only this age has the book open. And this age, the harvest time. This is the wheat age. This is the age when the Son of Man was revealed. Not the Son of God. Son of God was seven church ages. Son of David is in the millennium. But somewhere between the church age and the millennium, between the ending of the church age and the ushering in of the millennium, he's coming a cloud, a supreme judge with a white wig. He's judge between priest and king. Amen. It's a changing of dispensation. This world is again falling apart. Socially. Politically. Economically. It's all falling apart. And the millennium has been ushered in. And he comes as Son of Man in the harvest time to gather the wheat together. It's a uniting time. It's a gathering time. The wheat is united and the tears are united. In our text here, we see the three powers united. We see the bride united. Amen. We see them coming together for a showdown. Are we seeing the same thing again today? In the harvest time, there was a prophet who went forth. Have we seen a prophet going forth this harvest time? There was a revelation of Jehovah Shalom. In the harvest time, have we seen Jehovah Shalom again? See the great JBHU in disguise? He said the great JBHU in disguise. Jehovah Shalom. He said, don't be wary, Jesus is here. Amen.
Amen.
We see the angel of the Lord following the prophet's message in the harvest time. We see there was an elected group looking for miracles that the prophet had in the harvest time. They had a thirst to see the living God. The enemy was coming like a flood, but God is fixing the reason started. We see a great economic depression. In the harvest time, we see a great economic depression here also. Amen. We see a great uniting time. God and man united. And a ministry of the Son of the Lord. Amen. That faced the challenge in that hour. We see the same thing here. But before all those things could take place, God required a burnt offering. If we are in that drama, if history is repeating itself, if that was a type showing from 1965 until the squeeze comes, until the press comes down. Amen. Then we are in between that time. And here we find in the Bible, in the harvest time, from the going away of the prophet until the showdown, the spiritual experiences of the elect who is believing the prophet's message and looking for the things that the prophet spoke to be interpreted in our life. If we compare our experiences in this space of time and it bears record with the word, what a faith that will give us. On Wednesday night, we're talking about the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. The resurrection. From here tonight, we're talking about from the going of the prophet until the showdown. So we can see from the scripture. We don't have to be guessing. We don't have to be confused by everybody who writes about saying the Lord doing this, the Lord doing that, the Lord doing the other. The Bible is showing us here. The experiences in a type, and we have to see our life dovetail with that word. It's not everybody who says, I'm the bride, you're not in the bride. It's the word is confirming and identifying you are who you claim. This is the Testament Truman Revelation. Amen. And here in these past two services, we have been looking and seeing that all which we have come through for the past 27 years, the continuation of the same message, the part of the message that was prophecy, how it is becoming history in the life of the elected. Brother Brown said, when the angel appeared to me, took the scriptures, show me my life, show me my experience in the world. It took the fears out of me. It gave me such a faith. I trust tonight that after these two services, it has given you a faith to see that God has been guiding, leading, bringing us through a season. We may not have fully understood every junction of our experience, we know He was leading. We was walking by faith, believing. But when we have reason to see, He shows us in the world what His program was to be in continuity to the prophet's message, the part that was fulfilled. How the other unfulfilled part, which was to be fulfilled in the bride. Amen. To show the same God, the unchanging God. Amen. Glory. That we can know positionally where we are. Then we know how to behave. Then we know what to expect. Because we know what stage our experiences have reached.
been fulfilled. We see what is being fulfilled. And we see what is to be fulfilled. And we see what God requires. And we see if we are meeting that requirement. I don't know if the time is up. But I had a scripture I wanted to go to show you what the burnt offering was. God didn't call for another kind of offering. God specified the offering. God specified the place it must be offered. And Gideon knew what a burnt offering was. Because Moses wrote it to them. They had the word of the prophet. It spoke of complete unreserved consecration. A total surrender to the will of God. It spoke of preeminences. We use the term very much. We say, oh God, have preeminence in my life. But do we fully comprehend what that preeminence entails? Because not until the burnt offering was offered, Gideon had a teaching ring. He sat under the prophet. He heard what the prophet said. But in that hour, when the showdown was coming, when the three powers were beginning to squeeze, he had a harvest ring. A quick short message. A ministry of the sword of the Lord. God and man was united. Amen. Glory. Quickly, just Leviticus chapter 1. Save time, I'm going to let my brother read it.
Kando katika madhabahu iliyo hapo mlangoni ba kukata vipande vyake. Kisha wana wa Haruni kuhani watatia mtoto, watatia moto juu ya madhabahu na kuzipanga kuni juu ya moto. Kisha wana wa Haruni makuhani wataipanga ila vipande vya nyama. Kisha na kichwa chake na mafuta yake juu ya kuni zilizo juu ya moto uliopo juu ya madhabahu. Tisa, lakini matumbo yake na miguu yake ataiosha kwa maji, na huo kuhani ataviteketeza vyote juu ya madhabahu ili iwe sadaka ya kuteketeza, dhabihu ya kusongezwa kwa njia ya moto na ya harufu ya kupendeza kwa Bwana.
Amen.
Amen.
Now notice this burnt offering.
Basi angalia toleo hili la kuteketeza.
It was the first of all the offerings.
Ilikuwa ndio ya kwanza katika toleo yote.
It was a sweet savor offering.
Ilikuwa ni toleo ya ambaye yenye harufu nzuri.
In the Hebrew is a word that says ola.
Katika Hebrew ni neno ambalo linasema ola.
It means that which ascends.
Yamaanisha ile ambayo inainuka juu, inaenda juu.
In smoke up to God.
Katika hali ya moshi ikimwelekea Mungu.
Being wholly reduced to ashes. It's also called a holocaust. Like a holocaust with the Jews, a holocaust. Amen. Being reduced to ashes. It was the highest gift to God. Amen. Because it means that it was the complete consecration of the believer in his being to God. And notice it was to be wholly burnt completely. Because man's duty to God is not giving up one faculty. Well, I'll surrender my hands to God. But not my heart. No, I don't mean that. But it is the entire surrender of his being. They had to take the bullock. Had to be a male. Because it spoke of Christ. In Mark's gospel, he presents Christ as the ox. It's a sacrificial animal. It's an animal that labors, bears heavy burdens, plows the fields. The ox spoke of unceasing labor. A sacrifice, like the ox age, where they gave the life. Amen.
Amen.
And when Jesus was presented as the ox in Mark's gospel, Mark wrote different to all the others about Jesus' labors, his dedicated service. And they had to take this bullock and cut it in pieces. It didn't mean cut it up in small pieces. They had to dissect it. They had to cut the head. Then they cut the legs. Then they took the inwards out. Then they took the fat. Now the head spoke of the thoughts.
Amen.
You see, a lot of people have their own thoughts.
Oh, no,
to walk in the light. Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk after the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in the vanity of mind. Don't walk after the course of this world. Walk holy, holy unto the Lord. God told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Paul told the Ephesian church, walk worthy of your vocation. The inwards speak of the affections and the feelings. The bowels of compassion. Amen. And the feet, the fat, was spoke of the general health and figure of the animal. It was the best and most desirable parts. All of that had to be offered. Some people want to hold back the fat for themselves and only give what they can't use or they don't want. They want to give somebody something? It's because this one is broken and it's no good, so they could give it away now. And Israel was doing that to God. He would offer all the lame animals to sacrifice. Keep the best things for themselves. Because people become selfish. Self-centered. They want to please themselves first. Amen. But in this burnt offering that God was requiring between the going and the prophet and the coming of the Holy Spirit to bring a ministry of the sword of the Lord, a ministry of the spoken word, God required a burnt sacrifice. We all desire tonight to see the spoken word. See the cripples walk. See the power of God manifested. See the unsaved children saved. The drunkard husband see him get delivered. A power that could bind that mamba in a knot. Mamba is a snake. Amen. Amen. See, that mamba is mashing up the home sometimes. That mamba is running through the message. Biting people with deadly poison. But it needs something to bind that mamba in a knot.
Amen.
All them poison interpretations. All the unbelief that people have been sprayed with. Amen. And God was calling for a burnt sacrifice. After they dissect the animal in different parts, they had to skin it to make sure it had no blemish within. Because the bullock must be without blemish. Not just on the outside. It might look good on the outside. So that the skin the animal and examine it. Amen. How many is willing tonight to examine the thoughts? How many is willing tonight to examine the affections? To see whether he set the things above or on things beneath. How many tonight might be like Asa in the Bible? And he will hear diseased feet. Or like Uzziah. He had a leper in his head. Amen.
Amen.
Or like Ahaziah. Amen. Who was going to Ekron? To false gods. And his intestines fall out. Amen. We don't want that kind of diseases. They had to wash the feet in water. And they had to wash the inwards with water. So when God was telling Gideon that he had to offer a burnt sacrifice, he had to offer himself a living sacrifice. Amen. He had to lay his head down. Lay down his private interpretations. Lay down his educated guesses. Lay down his well worked out explanations. Stop exalting his knowledge above the word. How many like Gehazi had a desire for wealth from Naaman? The clothes and the money. Or like Achan on the Joshua ministry when he was coming to possess the inheritance that the prophet Moses spoke of. He still wanted some Babylonian things, trying to hide it in his tent because his inwards wasn't washed in water. Amen. Glory. So God was showing Gideon. God was showing Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor. You're asking if God be with you, where's all the miracles? They are going to happen. It's spoken. So I will perform a paradox. But I must make you a paradox. And the way I am going to make you a paradox, you have to offer a burnt sacrifice. Cut down your groves. All your images. Break up them worldly images. Break up all them images of self. Come to a complete unreserved consecration. Lay your head down. Lay your feet down. Wash your inwards with water. Lay your fat down. Let it be completely reduced to ashes. Let it come before God as a sweet smelling savor. Then he can smell it. And then, it's good. This is my beloved bride. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. In whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Hallelujah! Then we will see our ministry of the Son of the Lord. We would have to be living below our God-given privileges no more. We wouldn't have to be living below our God-given privileges no more. We don't be backing up from the economic conditions. Amen. We come to a full, complete surrender. He had no thoughts of his own. He had laid on his head. He didn't argue with God. He was going to offer up his body. He had to wash his innards in water. He had one desire. Was to please the Savior. His feet was willing to walk in